is Themes and Variations from Opus 41 by Sebastian Mee. Well, good morning, and it's really nice to see you all in person. It's been a long time. Welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. My name is Mary Mullen, and my pronouns are she and her. Currently, I'm the Archives Chair and a member of the Widening of the Circle of Concern Committee. In the past, I've been had a lot of different positions, including program chair, president, and I think I was secretary of the other thing. You know, 40 or 50 years, you know, you get to be a lot of different things. So, Prairie aspires to be both an open-hearted and an open-minded congregation. We strive to be welcoming to all, though we recognize that we all have biases that limit our understanding about how others may perceive us and also how we may perceive them. We stumble in our efforts, but we have to keep trying to grow our ability to love people of every ethnic and religious background, whatever your color, sexual orientation, gender identity, family structure, age, or abilities. We have a few announcements. I think I'll read the ones that are written on by hand here first. There's a guys group here at Prairie, men's group, which will meet this Wednesday at 7:15 Mass over there in the annex. That's from Dan Crowley. And our auction, our service auction, is next Sunday. That's coming up very quickly. Come ready to bid. Please bring a check to pay for the items that you purchased. And there are a few paper lists of items so that you can get a sneak peek today. This is from Chris Porter. And there will be more. It's not too late to put in your item on service or food or whatever it is that you want to have auction on. Now, as you can see, we're trying to be virtual again, as well as have in-person services. The last time we went to a few in-person services, we didn't have virtual, but we're trying to have both, so that if you can't come to the service, you might be out of town, or you just don't want to risk being in a crowd or continuing with the virtual services. They're not going to be interactive like they've been in the past, but just virtual so you can watch them. And we also need some tech people. So if you have any tech abilities, which I'm sure a lot of you do, talk to John Wunderland back there in the back. He's handling tech today. Another announcement is that this Tuesday is virtual trivia. Please contact Renee Deschard for the link. I think she's probably out with the kids today. There's a study group. Prairie Study Group meets by Zoom on the second and fourth Mondays of each month. November's book selection will be Evicted, Poverty and Profit in the American City by Matthew Desmond. And part one of that discussion will be on November 8th. And he's a researcher about poverty and profit, as the title says, who used Milwaukee for his research, so it's local. Our Sunday service on November 7th, the day of the auction, will start with a mini service. It will be a very short service, and then we'll move right into the auction. So contact Chris Porter. Put your hand up, Chris. Or Suzanne Burnett. She's right over here. If you have questions. And then we have a Fall Parish meeting coming up on Sunday, November 21st at 10 a.m. And we're going to be voting on the 2022 budget and also electing a new board member. And then finally, note that because today's service is a sharing service, we'll have joys and concerns and welcoming guests or visitors next week. But if you are a visitor today, don't be afraid to come up and talk to any one of us if you'd like to tell us things about Prairie. Now, related to our annual pledge drive, we have a testimonial by Dan Crowley. Good
I'm also here on behalf of Robin, my wife. She's kind of under the weather today. I'm a fan of a few things in life. I'm a fan of my high school football team, fan of Gordon Lightfoot and his music, of Sharpie SPL-10s. They have the perfect feel, and I love their ink flow. And I'm also a fan of cars that we've had, from our first car, a Dodge Dart, to the ones that we have now, Dodge Prius, or a Toyota Prius. And I'm a fan of Australian black licorice. Yeah. And I'm also committed to things in life that are a little more important. I'm invested in their success and in things that make the world a better place. So examples are Nature Conservancy, the Welsh National Association, and other civic organizations and charities. I'm committed to their enduring success. And so Prairie falls into that category for me and for Robin. As we are able, the two of us contribute as we can to Prairie groups and functions, various committees, to the retreat, to the auction, and to the members. And it's imperative for us to contribute as we can to Prairie's financing, to the funding that fuels us in all the ways that we're active so that we can survive and thrive. We can make a difference.
Hey. Well, earlier this week, the four of us in Kia there, I heard her panties back there, myself, Barbara Park, and Dan got together in Barbara's house to record the song you're going to hear, which is a pledge rap.
Every day, every week, we don't need an end to meet, cause expenses keep rolling along.
This is a responsive reading, so if you will, I will read a line, and then the line that is folded is yours to read. We gather in reverence before the wonder of life.
The wonder of this moment.
The wonder of being together, so close, yet so apart.
Each hidden in our own secret chamber.
Each listening, each trying to speak.
Yet none fully understanding, none fully understood.
We gather in reverence before all intangible things that eyes see not, nor ears can be kept.
But the hands can never touch, and the space cannot hold, and time cannot measure.
We'll now have a moment of silent meditation, begun by the chime and ended by the chime. Our minister, Reverend Matt Aston, will start our All Souls Day Memorial with some centering words.
Good morning, everyone, both gathered here and online. It is so good to be here with you And the Reverend then asked him that he was speaking pronouns. And this is a very, very important day for us together as a community, as we remember those that have been lost. The words I've chosen are from Jen Richardson. The selection is called The Cure for Sorrow. It's also the name of a book that she wrote at the loss of her husband. And it is a really good resource for that just explores the process of grieving those that we have loved. Work for sorrow. Because I do not know any medicine for grief but to let ourselves grieve. Because I do not know any cure for sorrow but to let ourselves sorrow. Because I do not know any remedy but to let the heart break, to let it fall open, and then to let it fall open still more. Because I do not know how to mend the unmendable, unfixable, unhealable wound that keeps finding itself healed as we tend it, as we follow the line of it, as we let it lead us on the path it knows. Because I do not know any solace but to give ourselves into the love that will never cease to find us, that will never lose its hold on us, that will never abandon us to the sorrow for which it holds the cure. Now I'd like to welcome Barb Park, who will be offering a history of the service that has been held here very dear.
My pronouns are she/hers, and Mary's Day of the Dead. In 1995, Ruth and George called and made a trip to Mexico and got to observe the 3 days colorful Day of the Dead celebration. Ruth was very taken by the experience. After describing the color and fun, she later wrote in the prayer history book that beneath the colorful surface lay support of the bereaved, an acceptance of mortality, and a linking of the generations. She felt that these values should be brought home. She continued, "I wondered, couldn't we set aside a time at prayer for members to honor their dead and share their grief with the community?" She first organized the program as she envisioned it in 1998. She encouraged people to bring photos or mementos of the remembered person, share stories, or just light a candle. She also began compiling and continued to keep up to date a list of all the Prairie members who have died since Prairie's founding. Mary Mullen has continued to keep this list up to date since Ruth's death. That list has been read every year for the Day of the Dead program. I have found the speaking of names personally very important and meaningful. Unlike last year, we are able to gather together again for sharing and support and continue the tradition, maybe even more significant in this time of COVID, when so many people have experienced separation from family, illness, and loss in an unprecedented way. Continuing our tradition becomes more important than ever. So Mary Mullen and Ruth Recking will read that list.
I want to say before we begin that this list is 85 people long. And when I looked at it in preparing to be one of the readers of the list, I decided to just number the people that I knew on the list, and that turned you personally, knew them, had seen them in person, and maybe knew them well, and it was about 70% of this list. So As these are read, I think of the image of each person that I have in my mind. We're going to be sharing. First, we're going to be reading by decades, how many people died in a decade, and then by 5 years, as you know, the congregation grew older. First person, Rand Cotley.
Jana Osterhaus. Bruce Carson. Roland Parrish.
From the 1980s, Les Lyons, Lois Hagstrom, Rebecca Clark, Lois Price.
And in the 90s, Ted Clark, John Grindrod, Dorothy Weatherby, Betsy Roberts, Carol Dock, Judy Perlman, John Grindrod, Avis Parrish, Marvin Werfel, Mike Sheehy, Sidney Mannering, Bill Caldwell, Odell Taliaferro.
From 2000 through 2004, Hazel Taliaferro, Henry Pratt, Paula Elkins, David Carson, Shirley Grindrod Durkin, Lee Bullen, Carl Thompson, John Snail, Jack Baron, John Deal, Sandy Quibble, Tim Bass.
2005 to 2009. Dan Willard, Marion Thompson, Bob Lawrence, George Calden, Pat Cotley, Alice Bullen, Hermione Davidson, Rachel Siegfried, Betty Jollins, Charlie Davidson, Dick Bonson.
From 2010 through 2014, Mary Lou Deal, Jack Dollins, Barbara Raines, Bunny Helene Wilkening, David Johnson, Alita Chaprou, Dave Zapham, Fran Romica, Gordon Cunningham, Pat Watkins, Mary Lou Muntz, Robert Durkin, Bob Siegfried, Bill Burns, Nancy Garst, Barbara Carson.
From 2015 through 2019, Mona Barong, Norma Briggs, Bob Cale, Lilo Cale, Galen Smith, Megan Christensen, Orton Gray, Laura Small, Theron Reese, Franklin French, Lori Bond, Ori Laux, Hugh Iltis, Warren Hagstrom, Shirley Lake, Beryl Gibbon Fago, Jim Carpenter, Jean Matos, Jack Osterhaus, Ruth Coleman, Mike Briggs, Rosemary Lester.
And since 2020, Robin Perret, Beth Potter, Boris Frank, and John Francis. Now is a chance for you to introduce us to people that you're thinking about at this time or have thought about during the past year or so. and share mementos or pictures or her short story about them. And I'll just start because I don't want to interrupt you. I wanted to point out that we keep a big notebook of memorial service programs, obituaries, and memories of prairie people who died. And anyone can feel free to look at, page through this to just see the people and find out about them. And in the front of the book, I just happened to have had a picture of three of the musicians that I played with over the years, Ruth Fallon, Rosemary Lester, and Michael Briggs. And I miss them every time I think about playing music, even though I have new people to play or people still alive to play music with. So I invite you to come up one at a time. You can line up if you want to, so that we can keep the program moving. And share with us a story or a picture or a memento that you brought along. If you didn't bring anything, feel free to come up here and talk.
Andrew's father-in-law this year. He's right here. He was always very proud of his long hair because he was considered himself quite the rebel. Extremely liberal, like many of you.
I'm Nancy Schrockner. My pronouns are she and her. This is my dear friend, Kathy Haywood. She was the mother of my best friend since grade school. And she was there for me during some of the most difficult times in my life. And we also, after Papa Haywood died, we spent about 12 years very close together and doing lots of things and having fun. And in this picture, she's wearing the necklace, and I'm wearing the necklace today in memory of her. Oh, she's the reason I came to her. Today, I am remembering my grandfather, George Eliot Chamberlain. I never met him, and I wish I had been able to. My mother was 4 when he died, and my aunt was an infant when he died. He was a country doctor in Vermont. He went to Dartmouth, and he did his residency at Boston Children's Hospital. It was a lot less schooling those days, but anyway, he was very beloved in the community. And also, I can't believe the wonderful thing that he did. He accompanied Dr. Borges and Dr. Walter Reed, working on the mosquito population for malaria and yellow fever, and making way for the Panama Canal to be completed. So he was such a wonderful man. This is the only picture that any of the family have, and I have a picture of his gravestone.
Hello. My name is Andrew Gers. My pronouns are he and his. I'm remembering my aunt and uncle. Very few people like them. But they were extreme in their passions for social justice and environmental issues. They lived in near poverty because they gave instead of money away. And even though they were extreme in these areas, they did it through deeds and not in words. They never asked anyone else to participate in their ways.
I'm Patty Stockdale. My pronouns are she, her. I'm remembering my nephew.
England's very expensive. Dean Berg, I think he was only 43 or 45 when he died. He had been having some issues, and he was given drugs for them, and he just went downhill in just a couple of months. And he left three, his wife, and three adopted children. They lived in Missouri.
I am Mary France, and I'm a she. I'm remembering, as I think many of you are, my husband who died just 2 months ago. I don't think grief is exactly the word for my feelings, because we had a wonderful life together. He was very much alive and with it up until the last year or two. But as he deteriorated, and I must, that's not the right word, as he kind of lost touch with the rest of the world, it was very sad to live with him. Very important. But I think my feeling is sadness, but relief also, because I don't think any of us wants that kind of a future to drag on for years and years. I dug up a few pictures from our great life together. Here's, which illustrates some of the things he loved. Here's us sitting in our garden in Monroe, Wisconsin. He was an avid participant in the garden. I did most of the gardening, but he was the compost king. This picture is of a trip we took to Alaska with our little he's huge now, our grandson who was 10 years old, who had lost his mother, our daughter, when he was 4. But we had kept up with him. He has struggled with drugs, but he is. And he's still in a very strong recovery. And this is a recent picture since our retirement, where you can see that you're finally sort of settling down.
So many of us miss John's humor and intelligence. I stepped up here just to speak about somebody I didn't know, but I think we all should recognize. Margaret Carpenter's mother died of COVID this year. Margaret is one of the few African-American members of Prairie. And I always think about how, you know, the poorest people are the ones that get hit the hardest or whatever kind of ailment society manifests. And, you know, she was a loving person with a lot of kids, I forget how many, kept them all together and on the progress under arduous circumstances. And anyway, I just think, you know, when I hear someone that dies of COVID, I think of her mother. Sorry, I don't know her name, but Margaret Carpenter's mother.
Well, speaking of COVID, I think I only knew two people who died of COVID directly, and that's a privilege, I think, of having friends who could avoid going out and being exposed. But I'm remembering John Driscoll, who didn't have that privilege, not because he didn't have money and privilege, but because he was one of the very first people in New York City when the wave first hit there. He ran a store, like a gallery, was a specialist in 19th century paintings. He was a Wisconsin boy originally, and I'm not sure how he ended up in New York, except that he had that level of sophistication. He was the best friend of my cousin Bill, who was like the world expert on Danish pottery at one time. So they shared this deep interest in art, and Bill always said that John was the richest, most successful person of his students. But they traveled a lot together, and we went to, I had the privilege of going to their wedding, only because, not because I knew them well, but because I was nursemaiding my little cousin. And it was unusual. I brought the picture, not of John, but of Tavery and I at this wedding, because all of the people were instructed to wear white, and only the bride wore color. So the bride was in red. It was quite a spectacular wedding.
Anyone left else like to come forward? Maybe you've been thinking of someone as other people spoke and thought of some person you'd like to memorialize here.
Her name is I'm Rachel Long. I go by she, her pronouns. Her name has already been said, but I'll just say again that I'm thinking of Delita Chipru. We've been asked lately to write songs for pledge drive and, you know, testimonial. And whenever I try my hand at such a thing, I think of the master. Delita Chipru, those of you who know her, she had written so many parodies and just absolutely delightful songs. And what a wonderful musician. So over and over, I thought of her just because of her instinct.
Can you hear me?
Hi, I'm Rebecca Stone. She heard. And I'm remembering two people. The first is my brother, who died 28 years ago tomorrow. And as you can imagine, that turned my life upside down. And but 21 years later, I can say that one positive is that his death made this time of the year sacred for me in a lot of ways. It's a very sacred time of the year. And the other person I remember is my uncle, my dad's older brother, who died earlier this year. He left no family. My parents and I were his only family. But he did leave a house.
Good. My hand, I put it up there. I don't know.
It took many people about 3 weeks to clean it all out. And as we were going through hundreds of sweaters and thousands of perfectly ironed linen napkins, all we could do was shake our heads and laugh. And so I had to thank him for that.
Can I say something? I don't think I can.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess they're not paying attention or something.
The picture isn't even coming out, right?
Denise Colley. I'm Reverend Matt's partner, and my pronouns are she and her. And I'm just sitting here with this overwhelming feeling, thinking about Reverend Dr. Florence Buck, who's one of our Unitarian ancestors,
who's my hero, and she died 96 years ago this month, and she was the first, she was one of our first women ministers. She was one of, she was the first woman to preach at King's Chapel. She was the first woman to be awarded an honorary doctorate from Meepo Lombard, one of our theological schools that Reverend Matt and I are alums of. She was this rebel in both women's rights and suffrage, as well as in racial justice. And I highly suspect lots of people know the name Sophia Foss. And I think that, well, I know that Sophia Foss was at some of Reverend Dr. Florence Buck's religious education seminars. And many of the ideas we attribute to Foss were actually Florence Buck's work and ideas in the beginning. And so we just owe so much of our beginning of religious education to her. And many people don't realize how many of the ideas we're talking about now in Widening the Circle were ideas she had about racial justice and education for all. And she really meant all means all. So I'm just thinking of her today and grateful for our Unitarian ancestors.
Hi, I'm Jason Pence, and my pronouns are he and her, hers. And instead of, usually I say something about my parents or my ex and aunts, but today I have a friend whose son died about a week ago, and she wanted everybody to know that he died of COVID. And he thought he was strong enough and he didn't need a vaccine. And so now he's left a couple of kids behind that are like 5 years old. And my friend is just grieving for the son that she's lost. So it's kind of hit me strangely. But maybe there's a lot of people out there that have someone who walked out from the younger person in COVID.
Our children, she, her. I wanted to remember Beth and Robin and their terrible deaths early in the very start of COVID. And the same week that they were murdered, the 21-year-old daughter of one of Dean's biking and running friends died in Alaska from a mountaineering accident. And to me, the start of COVID is combined with those three deaths and the start of such a difficult time for all of us. The person I know who passed away from COVID was the baker in Green Bay who won the North American Kringle competition that Katrina and I sponsored when we wrote our book about Danish food. So I'll always remember Uncle Mike of Uncle Mike's Bake Shop, who was 58. And one of the early people to pass away from this terrible disease that has robbed us of so many people.
My name is Eileen Hakes, and my husband and I are relatively new to Prairie. I kind of have a hard time introducing myself with pronouns because my physical, I mentioned this when I gave a talk a couple of weeks ago, but on a physical level, I'm a she, her. But I've done much, much inner work in my life and believe and understand that I and all of us are internally have both male and female aspects. They just don't always manifest as strongly in our physical presence. And I'm here because I want to honor the spiritual master that Peter and I lived with for many years, named Osho, who was previously known as the Born Sri Rajneesh. He was very, very controversial. Many of you have seen the Netflix documentary, Wild Wild Country. That was us. We were there. And But as controversial as he was, because he was an extremely rebellious spiritual kind of leader, he also changed our lives and the lives of tens of thousands of people for the better. And at this point, when I talk about gender orientation and identity, I would have to say that my essence is none of those. It's absolutely neither masculine or feminine, male or female. We all share a oneness, which is free from any such labels or definitions. And I know that, and I understand that because of the time that I spent with Osho. So he left his body in 1990. Which is Kirsten, in some ways was a relief because when the master dies, then you really are only left looking inside yourself for what is right and what is true. And so I'm forever grateful to him for that.
Anyone else?
Just take a moment of silence to sit and hold all feelings and memories, love. I'm sure this come up with this last session. I was driving here across the prairies and looking at the scenery, which is a little bit past peak. It's got that muted, beautiful, just end of season color. And I recognize that that is the signal that the fallow period is coming. This year's life has risen up through all its glory, and it has one last little shine. And then it goes to that place that we don't really always like in this society to think about it, which is its demise. Because I think as embodied souls, we really think that that's the end. It's very hard to think about continuing on when our bodies are done. And in nature, we get this winter where everything just seems to die. All the color goes away, and there's nothing left but the bones of the trees. Everything seems dark, and we get quiet, and we get reflective, and we think about the year that's gone past. And in the middle of that, we sort of force ourselves to say, hey, a new year is beginning, and even though I can't see the brightness, I know it's to come. And then, miraculously, every single year, the seeds that fell in the past year feel the warmth of the sun coming back around again, and we see those new shoots of life popping back up. Every single person that was recognized today has planted seeds in each of us. This room that we are sitting in today, this gathered community that we are with today, is all here because of many of the people that were referenced today. And they are here just as real as you or I or the folks gathered online. Their memories live on. The actions that they took in their lives while they were here still live on. And I think that is what that is the way to honor those that have passed, is to remember not only what they did, but to be inspired by the actions that they took that impacted us, and to recognize that it is our duty to carry on, to do those things that help not only ourselves, but our entire community. It is that container which comes back and brings life year after year after year that we continue to get to benefit from this day. Thank you. I did not know many of the people on that list. I knew the last name on that list that Mary and Rick read, and that person had an impact on me. All of the folks that were listed. I am here, we are here today, in large part because of their efforts. We are grateful for it all.
Thank you again, everyone, for sharing, whether it was about a person you knew personally or you knew well who had died even before you were born. Our shared offering partner this quarter is the Catalyst Project. It's a community of up to four single moms and their kids who are experiencing homelessness. The music that Baby Small will play is Colludio from Opus 5 of Arcangelo Corelli. And he'll be playing for us in a moment. A Unitarian martyr in World War II and died in a concentration camp. And we have the hymn book that Hanks written in Czech. He wrote many hymns, and we have that actual memento of his life here. Our closing music is page 123 in the great hymn book. Unfortunately, we have to ask you not to sing along, but feel free to hum with the recording that Dan from our chart of Penny Sucker and I made the other day. If you can just come down.
Spirit of God, come unto me.
from Mary Oliver. To live in this world, we must be able to do three things. What is normal, to hold, and when the time comes, to let it go. To let it go. Thanks so much for attending this morning. Please greet your neighbors. We recommend that if you want to visit, that you stay in this room because it's got ventilation that's almost like outdoors rather than going in the hall. Or feel free to go outdoors and visit. And please leave your hymnals on the chairs. Thanks again so much for coming.
Thank you.